Continued virtual worship service here at Zion Mennonite Church. It is a gift to have your presence here, whether you are a regular or a new listener. My name is Aaron Phoenix, and it's my pleasure to be worship leader today. Slowly, it seems, things are moving towards normal. From the strict personal distancing and quarantines of the past months, now more and more restrictions are being lifted each day. As I reflected upon this path that we've been on, I came across Romans 12:12, which states, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Indeed, I am joyful with the hope that soon we may be able to worship in person. And I'm looking forward to that day, but it is important that we also keep patient with the continuing restrictions and that we remain cautious. A misstep now can set us back. And finally, may we faithfully pray that the leaders and we the public make wise decisions that keep this COVID-19 at bay while we move back to a state of normalcy. Our call to worship is from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let's pray. God, although we are unable to gather in person, it is good to be together in our hearts and minds, listening for your voice, united by your Spirit. In this time of worship, tell us about your kingdom of kindness so that we can seek it. Show us your justice. We want to walk with you humbly, closely, daily. Amen.
Let's join together in singing, "Now Thank We All Our God."
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. Oh, wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices. Who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father, now be given, the Son and Him who reigns with Him in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
Our offertory prayer today comes courtesy of Carol Penner. And I'd like to remind you that any offerings that you might wish to donate to the church can be made via the web using the instructions outlined on the church website, and that is zionmennonite.ca. Or you can drop them off at the church in person or mail them to the church, the address of which is also on the website. Let us pray. Lord, let our congregation be a witness to you, immersed in scripture, constant in prayer, joyful in worship, generous in giving, a loving, supportive community reaching out to those in need. Accept these gifts we offer in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I'll be reading today from Genesis 18, verses 1 to 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant. Very well, he answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There, in the tent, he said. When the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abram and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. Now also be reading from Genesis 21, verses 1 to 7. The Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. This is the reading of our Lord.
Exodus 19, verses 2 to 8. When they left Rephidim, they came into the desert of Sinai and camped in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up on the mountain to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, say this to the family of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, every one of you has seen what I did to the people of Egypt. You saw how I carried you out of Egypt as if on eagle's wings, and I brought you here to me. So now if you obey me and keep my agreement, you will be my own possession, chosen from all nations. Even though the whole earth is mine, you will be my kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You must tell the Israelites these words. So Moses went down and called the older leaders of the people together. He told them all the words the Lord had commanded him to say. All the people answered together, we will do everything he has said. Then Moses took their answer back to the Lord.
I will be reading Psalm 100. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord with joy. Come before him with singing. Know that the Lord is God. He made us, and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep he tends. Come into his city with songs of thanksgiving, and into his courtyards with songs of praise. Thank him and praise his name. The Lord is good. His love is forever, and his loyalty goes on and on. I will be reading Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he listens to my prayers for help. He paid attention to me, so I will call to him for help as long as I live. I will be reading Psalm 116, verses 12 to 19. What can I give the Lord for all the good things he has given to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation, and I will pray to the Lord. I will give the Lord what I promised in front of all his people. The death of one that belongs to the Lord is precious in his sight. Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the son of your female servant. You have freed me from my chains. I will give you an offering to show thanks to you, and I will pray to the Lord. I will give the Lord what I promised in front of all his people, in the temple courtyards in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
I'm reading from Romans 5, 1-8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news about the kingdom, and healing all kinds of diseases and sicknesses. Matthew 10, verse 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead to life again. Heal those who have skin diseases, and force demons out of people. I give you these powers freely, so help other people freely.
Number 138. Let God who called the worlds.
Let God who called the worlds to be in all consuming fire to judge the people righteously and faithless ones with awe inspired. This God is ours, and yet we break the covenant made long ago. God's words we foolishly forsake, God's ways we have refused to know. For though our lips have preached God's law, our erring hearts have scorned the name. We choose the thief and slanderer as friends, and so increase our shame. What then shall God the Lord demand? Not gifts or lavish offering, but vows and promises performed, and lives from which true praises spring.
Good morning, and welcome to our service this morning. I know that you have already been welcomed by Aaron and by the Zachariases through their reading of the scripture, through all of the singers and many others. I hope that you do feel welcome. I also hope that you do not feel too isolated or alone, that we are trying our best to support each other, even though we are not physically in the same space. And conversely, you know, let's not romanticize how wonderful it was when we were able to meet every Sunday morning, because there were many Sundays when perhaps you or some of your neighbors elected not to come to church when they could have, or came to church and left feeling maybe worse than when they came. I hope that doesn't happen. But You know that these things happen. When people come together, we are going to rub each other the wrong way, or things are said, or you get a certain look, or whatever. So, you know, there are some positives when you can be in your own home, in your own bubble, shall we say. But I'm not trying to encourage that, because don't start thinking this is better than coming to church. That was part of a conversation I had this week, that someone, not from our congregation, but someone else was saying that they hoped that this would not get people to thinking, well, virtual church is better than real church. I'm just not going to bother coming anymore. But we're glad that you have taken the time to at least listen. And I hope that if you know anybody who has computer problems and doesn't know where to click on certain tabs or buttons, and because of that, they are not able to participate, please help them out wherever you can. This morning, we are going to get into Exodus. But before we go there, I was looking at dates and thinking about, you know, the events that have happened within these last few weeks. And that's probably where I got this title, What Just Happened. But as I was looking at those dates and seeing we are coming up on what they call Juneteenth or Freedom Day or Jubilee Day, and you would think, by those words, like Freedom Day, Jubilee Day, those are surely Christian references, and yet they're not. These are all terms used for this coming Friday, June the 19th, in which the slaves were celebrating the Emancipation Proclamation. They were celebrating the fact that they were finally freed from their slavery. And if you take that awareness, the awareness of history, and look back into the text that we're looking at today, which is the Exodus, which is where God takes them out of slavery, and we think about that in very real terms, as well as our very real spiritual terms, it really adds multi-layers to what is in this passage, what is in this story, what's in this message for us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So back to this phrase, what just happened? That's kind of, some of you will recognize this kind of phraseology. It's become quite popular. You know, something happens and you look at, people look at each other and say, what just happened? As in, give me the interpretation of these events. I don't get it. Not that they don't really understand. It's not literal, because we've seen what has happened, or we've experienced what has happened. But we recognize that there is something beyond what we're seeing that has been occurring. And believe it or not, I'm thinking about as kids get older. You know, we who have no children are the best parents. But I think, you know, as kids become teenagers, become adults, shall we say, and then all of a sudden a statement is made, and the parents have to look at each other, recognizing that their child has transitioned into a new stage, a new phase, a new reality. And that is a real turning point. So let's think about that as we come into Exodus chapter 19, and the entire text is verse 2 to the beginning of verse 8. We'll focus just really on 2 to 6. So the events have happened. The slaves have been freed, brought out of Egypt. They've come into a wilderness, well, a sort of wilderness that surrounds Mount Sinai, very flat land, wide open, and they are camping there. And then God appears, and God calls to Moses, and God speaks to Moses. And it's good to remind ourselves that this is before the Ten Commandments, because as soon as you say, okay, they came out of Egypt, oh, I know what's coming next, then there's going to be commandments written in stone. It's written in stone. We still use that phrase. And then how they started worshiping the calf and all of these things. Well, keep that in mind and recognize that even as we come to this story, as we come to hear these events described in God's words, that we have this tendency to hear and to understand a story with our own predisposition. Oh, I already know what they're going to say. And then we hear what we think we are going to hear. Rather, here is God coming to God's people through Moses, and he's saying, I want to describe what has just happened. I want to remind you what you've just been through. The first thing, you saw what I did to the Egyptians. Now, he may be simply referring to the most immediate, you know, as they came through, when they crossed the Red Sea, and then the waters closed in on the army. Now, he doesn't only speak about the army that was chasing them, the army that wanted to destroy them, but all of the previous actions of the Egyptians, the powerful Egyptians, the slave owners, the Egyptians, through the plagues, and even when the Israelites were freed, they were plundered, but willingly plundered, not like the looting that we've seen taking place in the States. They were happy to give everything that they had and get these slaves out of our house. Go, 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 go. So this change of mind, all of the many things, you know, we should remember that the Hebrew people had been living under Egyptian rule for at least 400 years. I don't think they were slaves that whole time, but they were well acquainted with life in Egypt. You saw what I did to the Egyptians. In our day and age, when we are so politically correct and we think we are very wise in interpreting Old Testament scripture, interpreting ancient civilizations. Now, interpreting those things in light of today's world, that's actually very poor interpretation. That's not wise at all. So let's just take a step back from that and hear God's description of what God has done. God says to God's people, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings. I bore you on eagle's wings. God lifted them. God carried them on eagle's wings. If this doesn't make us stop with the wonder of it all, then we're not really in tune with this story. I bore you on eagle's wings. I carried you. Many of us are familiar with that poem. I think it's called Footprints. And when we're really struggling with things, and you see two sets of footprints, God is saying, I was walking with you. And then there were difficult times and there was only one set of footprints. And the reason? That's when God was carrying you. The same thing here in God's own words. I bore you on eagle's wings. There are other texts, of course, that we can look at. Text in Isaiah. There's one in Ruth chapter 2, in the Psalms, in Job 39, 27 to 30. But this one, I feel like this one is enough for us. Let's just take some time. Those who like to meditate, those who like to contemplate, allow that picture and God's own statement to speak deeply into your own heart, into your own situation. Maybe in the past, maybe in the present. This is how God sees things. This is what has happened. I have borne you on eagle's wings. And brought you to myself. This is God's desire above all other things. You know, there's only two directions in all of Scripture. It's either to God or away from God. And from the very first story of the first humans in the Garden of Eden, when they decided they wanted more than what God had provided, they wanted more wisdom, more insight. And the fruit looked so good, and they decided to enhance their own lifestyle. What God had provided was not enough. I want more. I want to become like God. And they turned away from God. And how does God respond? Where are you? Where are you? God is constantly seeking us out, longing for us. We enslave ourselves. We possibly for years. We don't know what the end result is going to be, but they cried out to God. And God said, I bore you up on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. This is salvation. This is a very real and present salvation. It is near at hand. Today is the day of salvation. If you realize, if you hear God speaking to you in these words, just answer, here I am. Hear these words again and again, these words of affirmation, of love, of true desire for you. God's desire for you. Where are you? Where are we? And this is the foundation on which we build. It is from this foundation that then we are encouraged and exhorted to hear God's word. Now, before we jump into that, go ahead and check Matthew 25, 14 to 30. That's another little story that Jesus told about the kingdom of heaven. This is what it's like. And he was the rich man. Or the man who went away had given many talents to his different servants, and they responded differently. And one who had buried his talents came back with them and brought them to the master. And he said, I knew that you were a harsh master. Because I understood you to be this way, I acted this way. The way that we understand God affects our response, our actions, our attitude. God is speaking to us and saying, look, I long for you. I bore you up and I brought you to myself. Now, hear God's words. Verse 5. Now we are ready to listen to God's word. And this is where the Shema comes in. This is actually what God says right here. Hear and listen. Now, therefore, verse 5. Oh, these English words are so, I don't know, a little bit harsh, a little bit hard to understand. Now, therefore. It's much less so in Hebrew. Sounds way better. And you have to indulge me because I love the sound of Hebrew. And I was speaking with Dan Martins this week, and we were talking about past English teachers, because I mentioned I had been one, and he sort of rolled his eyes, and I said, yeah, we get a bum's rap because everybody hates their English teacher. But he said, no, he had actually enjoyed his high school English teacher quite a lot, and they had to do a lot of Shakespeare, and the language was so difficult. And so the teacher said to them, hey, I know you're not going to get a lot of this, but we're going to slog through it. So in that vein, I want us to look at the Shema, because the Shema is foundational to all of the Hebrews, to all Israel, to all of the Jews, even until today. It is their pledge of allegiance. They hear it morning and night. And in the context of what we have just heard, it takes on a bit of a different meaning, because the Shema means listen or hear, pay attention to. And it's not only that, but it is hearing with the intention of following, with the plan to be in close communication and attached to the one who speaks. Hear, O Israel. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Echavta et Adonai Elochecha, Bekul Levavecha, Uvekul Nevshecha, Uvekul Meodecha. It means, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And another cool thing about this Shema, we're here when God says, listen and follow what I am about to say. Oh, we have to remember, like the Ten Commandments are coming, but it's not commandments, they're 10 words. These are words for the journey, to make the journey the best possible journey, because we've started with this foundation, the foundation of God's love and desire bringing us close. And this, the construct, the Hebrew construct here, it's Shema'u Tishma'u. It's like he repeats, listen, listen. And this construct is it's a tacit opposition to its opposite. It means, you know, it implies that the opposite is just impossible. That couldn't be. I can give you a couple of other examples. Numbers chapter 12, verse 14. Where it says, it's about Miriam when she got leprosy. And he says, if her father spit in her face, well, now all of you are going to look up that scripture. I know. It's just like, what? No, that's preposterous. Or Judges 14, verse 12, where Samson is saying, if you can decipher this riddle, well, everybody knows there's no way that's going to happen. I just thought of one of my own. I can't say it in Hebrew, but you could say, if our pastor preached a short sermon, and everybody's going, what? That could never happen. It's the construct itself demonstrates there is no way the opposite couldn't or could happen. It's out of the question. And so not listening, not having a heart that is desiring to obey and follow, that's impossible. And another just sidebar. This law, the 10 words, are given to people that were already redeemed. They had already been saved, shall we say, New Testament language. This Exodus, this is our story. We were already saved simply by God's grace. And then God said, hey, this is the way, walk ye in it. That's what we're inclined to listen to. And then God's plan, look, I know that all of the earth already belongs to me. You don't have to tell me that. We've experienced this. We know this. All of the earth is already mine. But I have chosen you to be the mediator of who I am and how I interact to the rest of creation. See how important it is for us to truly understand and interpret God's being. Who is this God? And God's actions towards us. Shema Israel, hear my words. Then we can mediate a true, loving, and right covenant to all of creation. The whole world, every nation. We need to recognize who is this God. The God who describes his own actions to us. And we need to return to that center. Please bow with me for the benediction. May the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Let's sing together the sending song, The Lord Lift You Up. Sing the journey number 73.
You too. to stand, secure in God's word, seeking God's face, abounding in love, abiding in grace.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved.